Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie, the most unflinchingly compelling podcast on the internet.
Nice.
My name is Patrick Bromley, and I'm joined tonight by my best friend, Doug.
Oh, I have a cavity. I have a toothache.
Because I'm so sweet.
It was adorable. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming.
It's a ponor. It's a podcast honor to be here.
Wow.
That's right.
That's cool. How do you like the new F This Movie studio?
I love it. It's very plush. It has carpet up to my ankles.
What do you think of the bean bags?
The bean bags are a bit overdone, I think.
Yeah.
I prefer only two. You've got at least eight or nine in here.
I just want to make sure, in case you fall down, that you land in cushy softness.
All I request for future podcasts is the chair that's shaped like a hand.
Oh!
The one that you sit in the palm of the hand. I need that. It's very mod. Very, very happening.
Well,
very
this cool. is a one mod cast. I would call it a mod cast.
Nice.
Yeah.
I have a question. The last podcast,
16.
You did.
Yes.
Ran easily 8 hours.
Yes.
How long will tonight's podcast run?
Seven.
Seven. Okay. So we're going to bring it in under the Dances with Wolves time frame.
Correct.
Okay. Chimani Tatanka Owachi.
What that means, see you, right?
That means I see you in Klingon.
You're actually listening to F This Movie.
Yes, a podcast.
And you can find our website at fthismovie.blogspot.com.
Absolutely.
Hey, guess what? There's a new feature on fthismovie.blogspot.com.
There is? What is it?
It's called Watching Trailers with Doug. It's a new weekly feature in which Doug finds trailers that he wants people to see, and then he says things about them.
I don't know if that's a totally a totally true statement. It's not that I find, you're right, I find
you find trailers, it's not necessarily like, these are the three I want people to
right,
see.
Right, it's not like, I definitely want you to
it's
see.
It's like, what are the first three I can
woman.
Find
right.
on Apple trailers?
No, not even Apple trailers, because
what?
iTunes is very strict and very, you know, they keep their stuff under wraps. I have to find stuff on YouTube, like, stolen by, I assume, a production assistant and put out there by some, you know, anonymous handle. But it's not like I want you to see the Other Woman trailer or the new Kate Hudson trailer.
Right.
It's that these are trailers I can at least write 2 to 3 sentences on.
Right.
And that hopefully I'll give you a chuckle. I'll make you laugh.
I like to chuckle. You know what trailer you should put on there?
What?
The Patriot.
The Patriot?
The movie's good.
Wait.
He's fighting for freedom.
The new Patriot coming out in 2012?
What?
Oh, spoiler.
The Patriot and 2012? I see what you did. When does it come out?
It comes right after the Earth Ends.
No. I gave you an opening there.
Oh, I'm sorry. The 2012, the Earth is ending.
The Patriot comes out in 2012. Oh, what date? Well, Independence Day.
Independence
Day.
Nice! Oh, you should write trailers for, I assume, trailer companies. I don't know. I don't know how these things work. This is all new to me. I've not seen many films. I just saw Inception. I'm kidding.
Sound effect! We're going to add a lot more sound effects to
the
show.
Pat the movie guy.
Starting tonight. I'm Pat. I'm movie guy Pat. And this is Doug the movie bug. And you're listening to F This Movie.
Cinema Doug. You sound like that guy from the Police Academy movies.
Michael Winslow?
No, the other guy. Steve Guttenberg. All right, anyway, thank you for having me at fthismovie.blogspot.com. How can I email you if I want to get on the computers?
You type in fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
Sweet. You're also on iTunes.
Yeah.
I'm dropping knowledge. DVD Verdict
Presents. .com.
CinemaCast. No, what's the other stuff
you're on? Podcast Alley.
Podcast Alley.
That's a thing. And Twitter, I'll tell you what.
Oh, yeah.
Blowing up.
It absolutely Twitter is.
I don't know
what's
happened.
Up? What's up, tweeps? That's right.
Your tweeps.
My tweeps. All you F-head tweeps out there. Check out twitter.com/fthismovie. We've decided to throw some life into it and make some funny comments. It's not just a reposting of Facebook posts, which are very funny and very interesting, and you should read them every day. Even if there's not a new one the day you're reading, you should read the old ones because they're still funny. They hold up. They're great. But we're trying to do funny comments and keep our finger on the pulse of Kat Von D and what's his name? Jesse James's engagement.
It's mostly celebrity gossip. Right?
It's mostly like
we're steering towards that. We're getting bored with movies.
Movies are so boring.
Yeah, they're kind of all the same. So now we're looking more towards celebrity gossip. Yesterday, I almost saw someone's underpants.
If you saw their underpants, would that day be a win?
It would be like an 8.
That would be that. Today is not an 8. I'll be honest. I always lie, by the way, which is why I
press. I didn't see their underpants. So guess what today is?
Today is what?
Epic fail.
Epic fail. Oh, it's Caturday. No, Ken Eyes has some, I don't know, is, internet memes from 2005.
I am not
et cetera.
Internet savvy at all.
You are. You're very handsome. Is Thank that the you. Same thing?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay, sweet.
Hey, Doug.
Yes.
Have you seen anything good lately?
I saw one thing good and one thing not so good.
I saw one thing good and I saw this other thing.
That was not so good. Thank you for finishing my sentence. We share a brain.
Yeah.
I saw Howl. Based upon a previous podcast in which you, myself, and JB talked about our top 10 movies of 2010.
That's
JB
right.
had mentioned Howl in the podcast, live action.
And you just straight up, you're like, oh, let me rush out and see it. Did you rush out and see movies that I recommended?
Understand, during the podcast, JB got the Blu-ray and handed it over to me.
Yeah, it's all on the record.
In a crystal meth haze, though. It's kind of not hard to remember. So I watched
it. The only
it,
thing that makes me feel normal.
And it was good, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It's a very short movie, and the only thing bad I'll say about this movie, which is, I know, I like
Franco
it.
James Franco doesn't cut his arm off.
He might. I didn't get to the end. Okay. I don't know what happens. He falls in a cave, and then a crevasse, and then years later, some explorers thought him out, and he became a lawyer. No, it's very good, and even You're James right. Franco, who is... A little distracting is good, because I still think, like, you're James Franco, you're from Pineapple Express, and in 30 Rock, and having an affair with, Liz Lemon.
Does he try a pie at any point during the movie?
So good. But it's good, and I like how it made me feel the era. And, I'll say this, it's like 84 minutes, it feels like a long movie. It feels kind of like a long movie.
89 minutes.
Feels like 89 minutes. Feels like 90
Oh,
minutes.
God.
But there's some great courtroom drama sequences, which is John Hamm and David Strathairn. Which is even more interesting because the dialogue from that scene is taken from actual court transcripts, which is great because the dialogue in that scene
are
is great.
Are they court transcripts from that specific court
no,
case?
No, they're actually from the Michael Jackson child molester court case. What?
It's kind of a neat spin, though.
No, it's very...
what if Allen Ginsberg... I was out of this woman.
And Mr. T.
What's the other
I
thing?
I pity the fool who doesn't howl!
What's the other?
That's a Simpsons mashup.
What's the other thing you saw?
Oh, well, obviously, my wife, we reactivated our Netflix account. She
That's
was
right.
a Netflix member for years and years and years. And when we bought a new place...
She broke with the party.
She broke with the party. And I think it was partially because...
she didn't like the way it was going.
We weren't using it. It was a thing where we were watching a lot of TV on DVD.
I thought
and
it was
a lot
more
of,
ideological.
It was more... It wasn't so much her, it was them.
Yeah, right.
But no, we canceled it, but then we restarted it, which is great. And now we've got all the on-demand stuff, so we watch stuff streaming live. And what else are you going to watch on Netflix?
Not streaming.
No, this one is this.
See,
one
that's
the
thing.
Mail.
Like when you're streaming, right? That you no, sometimes you have an impulse where you're like, "Oh, I'm going to watch Home Fries." You
yeah,
know,
she watched Delicatessen.
I spent no time thinking about it.
Yeah, there's.
But this was premeditated.
This was absolutely not. Well, I guess partially by me. We watched Step Up 3 or Step Up 3D, although not in 3D.
You saw Step Up 3D in 2D?
I saw Step Up 2D
minus
in 3D.
Minus 1D then?
The Streets.
Oh.
No Channing Tatum. I know.
Then why bother?
Exactly. But some guy from So You Think You Can Dance, a runner-up from So You Think, or S-Y-T, wait, So You Think, Y-C-S-I, Miami. And it was... The backstory too is we read the site the website Video Gum, and the writer on that site is a big fan of Step Up 3, I think ironically and tongue in cheek. So, but still, it's like he says, you know, this is a fun, interesting, exciting movie experience. This is a fun movie where they dance and there's passion, and it's completely idiotic and silly, but it's worth seeing if not for the dancing. I wouldn't go that far. The dancing was really fun,
mm-hmm.
but the movie is like almost 2 hours, and it's just a lot of dialogue and a lot of like, you know, different competing dance crews and stuff. And
that's what life is like.
It's definitely streets is what it is. But no, we
does anybody like dance something that they feel?
It's not like Center Stage, Patrick.
You've seen a lot of dancing movies.
I love Amanda Schull. By the way, Amanda Schull.
Center Stage.
If you're listening
Black
to this
Swan,
movie,
one of your top movies of the year. If you listen to our top
podcast. Well, it's more ballet. I like ballet. Boys, and don't now, do ballet.
And now step up 3D the streets.
Amanda Schull.
Step
this
up
is,
three the streets.
Can I have the conch? The conch for a second?
Yeah.
Piggy. Sucks to your ass, Mar. Amanda Schull, if you're out there listening, Amanda Schull, by the way,
she is a fan of this movie.
FYI, star of Center Stage and also like One Tree Hill. She was in a little scene there where she almost took her top off, but it not at all.
They were referencing that famous scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which I was like, great idea. Never been done.
I know. They're nothing if not unique.
Because the audience for One Tree Hill has definitely seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Dude, you're taking away my thunder. Sorry, anyway, Amanda Schull appeared there, and she was in a red bathing suit, and it was great. If you're listening, and I know you are, call me. You're on my list. Anyway, so yeah, I seen Center Stage and Black Swan and now Step Up 3. And again, it was done.
Do you feel like you need to go back and see Step Ups 1 and 2
well,
the streets?
There was story elements that were missing.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't follow. Where are they again? How are they dancing? Who is that person?
You didn't
Why
understand
am I falling
how
asleep?
These dance battles began.
No, I do not.
You had to go back and see the dance wars.
I did. And but no, so we saw it. We got it on Netflix and I saw it in the theater. I'm kidding. I saw it in my home. And it was fine. The acting is horrible. The dancing was kind of fun.
Yeah, right.
And it's just completely ridiculous. And I
think it probably would have been worth seeing in 3D.
Only for the moments where they come at you with like the pitchfork.
Yeah.
And then the guy with the big afro hides in the closet with the cleaver in his head.
Shelly?
Shelly from...
Shelly! You asshole!
What are you referencing, Patrick?
Shelly is the guy that is responsible for... Jason Voorhees' hockey mask.
That's right.
Shelly is the one that brought it along.
In Friday the 13th, part 3.
Part 3, the best 3D. Of the Friday the 13th.
It's a lot of fun, and everything is going at the camera, like,
yo-yos, snakes, eyeballs, everything pitchforks? Comes flying Maybe, at the camera. Yeah, pitchforks. Right, hell sweet. Yes, pitchforks.
So, Patrick, what have you seen lately that's good and in theaters?
I haven't seen much that is good and or in theaters.
You saw Green Hornet.
I saw Green Hornet, but I talked about that on a previous podcast. So you, what the problem is, you need to listen to the
Sloppy
podcast
Sam.
That you're on. I watched a couple things. I watched a couple things on Netflix Instant because I have like 400 movies in my Instant queue, nice. And I put no time into considering what I'm going to watch. So, like the other night, Erica went to bed early.
And who's Erica?
Well, I'm married to her.
Oh, nice.
She's okay. Remember the lady you met? Remember the lady you met upstairs when you were coming in?
No.
No. Okay. On the way out, I'll introduce you.
Okay. Oh, I gave a speech about her at your wedding.
Yeah, that's
nice.
Right.
Sweet.
She went to bed Lovely early, lady. And so I went downstairs and I had some work to do. And I was like, well, then I'll put on Black Belt Jones, and it's a blaxploitation kung fu movie that was not good or enjoyable, but. I also saw a movie called Diggers, which came out a couple years ago. Paul Rudd is in it, and Ron Eldard, and Maura Tierney. And it was written by and co-stars Ken Marino, which is why I watched it, of
you know
The State.
What my favorite dart is?
Ron Eldard.
That's right, Ron Eldard. That's my favorite dart.
It was not great, and it was cliched in so many ways, and you just felt like every line of dialogue, I could picture Ken Marino sitting in his apartment typing in New York City. And
the Jew, the Italian, and the redheaded gay?
Yeah, he dips his balls in everything in the movie, and it takes place in the 70s, and it tries super hard to remind you that it's in the 70s, like everyone has specific mustaches, but then like there's all these like... Oh, there's President Carter on TV, and oh, this kid is asking to go see that shark movie. It's called Jaws. Oh, because your Jaws is out, because it's the 70s. In one scene, Ken Marino's like on the phone, and next to him is like a jar, I guess it would be a jar of Tang. And it's like, and it's in a spot where Tang wouldn't be, but they just want it. Remember Tang? There it is. It's in the shot.
Is there any digging in the movie?
There is. They are all clam diggers. That's where the... title comes from.
And Paul Rudd couldn't even say this. Paul Rudd's
not really. I mean, I love Paul Rudd, but it was like Beautiful Girls if they were clam diggers in the 70s.
Wow.
And no Natalie Portman, who will come up later. And I also rewatched Snatch.
Okay.
You know, Guy Ritchie's Snatch.
I do know
and
it.
I still like that movie.
Oh, Guy Ritchie's. No, yeah. I don't know it. Sorry.
And, oddly enough, Diggers and Snatch are the nicknames of two of my friends back east, back in Boston.
Where you could pull off some
heists. You know, Diggers and Snatch. Oh, it's your old pal Diggers.
I'm from Southie.
You're third generation firefighter.
I'm talking to Johnny in the future. All right, sorry.
So I like Snatch. the movie,
and I like Tang. So I don't understand what we're movies. We're talking about movies. Garden State. We're talking about Garden State.
When I get away from like Guy Ritchie movies, I get annoyed by like the idea of Guy Ritchie sometimes. But then I watch his movies, and they're usually entertaining. But I've never seen Swept Away, and I've never seen Revolver.
No.
But the other ones are okay. Sherlock Holmes, not great, by the way. Have you seen it yet?
No, in fact, I was going to watch it, and then I decided to do something else with my time.
I like Robert Downey Jr. a lot, but, like, the fundamental flaw is that there's a bad mystery, and that's probably what you need to start with if you're doing a Sherlock Holmes movie.
Right, the mystery has to be pretty
solid. Write a good mystery, right. But this movie does not.
He also made too many comments about how it was mean-spirited and
not
fun. Golden Globes. Did you talk about the Golden Globes at all in the last podcast?
No, what's the point?
There's really not a point. In as much as the Golden Globes were last weekend, they were Sunday, January something. I don't know where I am right now. So the Globes, as I call them, I'm in the inside, finger on the pulse. The Globes were held last weekend, and Ricky Gervais was the host, and he was very funny. And they were pretty boring and predictable and not at all good. So, that's all I have to say about
that. Yay! And congratulations to all the winners.
Congratulations,
guys,
to Paul Giamatti.
You're all stars. You're all stars in my eyes.
He was the star of The Baxter, right? That's what he won for. The Baxter?
Yes. I believe so.
Barney's
Baxter.
Barney's situation. I don't understand what this means.
Barney's such a version.
We're big movie fans. We love movies.
Yeah,
so
I don't know. They're okay.
Occasionally we call them films.
Yeah.
And when we're feeling super douchey, we call them cinema.
Ooh, nice.
But even the Golden Globes, it's so self-aggrandizing and just very pat on the back. And they're drunk, right. But they're just like nothing. There's no one there that's exciting to me. And there's no one there that's even clever.
Well, and every year they sell you on this idea that, like, it's the fun Oscars, because everyone's loose and drunk. But no. When has it ever been fun? When has an interesting thing ever happened at the Golden Globes?
I was kind of surprised at how quick it went by, too. I know it didn't see, it was, like, from 7 to, Central Time, 7 to 10. And they pretty much finished out on time. And with all those categories, because it's like, I don't care about Jim Parsons, who will also come up later in the podcast.
That's right.
I don't care about him. I don't care about the guy from Glee.
A lot of stars in tonight's movie winning Golden Globes.
That's right. I don't know. Like, I don't get... whatever. That's whatever.
Anyway, let's move on to the movie that we're effing tonight. And I will do that by reading a listener email.
Oh.
Remember, you too can email suggestions for shows at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
A listener email. This won't be at all boring.
This comes from Jeffrey Miller. Hello, F This Movie Gang. I've enjoyed listening to you guys F on several occasions, though I must admit I only listen to you F when you are effing something I've experienced myself. Still, I've enjoyed every F of yours that I've listened to. I have a suggestion for a future F, 2004's Garden State. I'm not sure if you guys fall into this age range, but I found that Garden State really spoke to a lot of people who are truly in their mid-20s to mid-30s now, which includes yours truly. That's his words, not mine. Although it also includes yours truly.
Doesn't include me. I'm 68 years old.
Critics, reviewers, and podcasters that fall outside of that range seem to be more critical of it as a pretentious ripoff as opposed to homage-filled, ham-fisted, overly unrealistically quirky, and forced freshman outing by writer-director star Zach Braff. I personally love the movie and would consider myself an apologist for it. If so, many of my friends didn't love it too. Anyway, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this film. Is it a movie that defines a generation, like The Graduate, another film I'd love you to F, or is it simply an indie-flavored ripoff of superior films like The Graduate? Regardless of whether you get around to effing Garden State, keep up the good work, and have a happy 2000-effing-11.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jeffrey Miller, for those kind words. I'm kidding. That's actually very really nice, and we appreciate that.
Yeah.
I wasn't listening though. Can I just read back? Because he said some. I wasn't hearing...
He wants us to talk about Garden
State. I spaced out. Can I just read his email as if they were my own thoughts?
Yeah, sure.
Like, I really felt it spoke to a generation, and yeah. I am in my mid-20s.
Yeah.
I'm early 30s now, but I... It really, it's not like The Graduate. It's like The Graduate in
right.
my movies.
So tonight we're talking about The Graduate.
In my movie's face.
Starring Dustin Hoffman.
Director Dustin Hoffman?
Yes.
Director of Luck, an HBO movie? Sorry.
Yeesh.
Garden State. It was directed by Zachary Israel Braff and written by Zachary Israel
Braff. Are you going to start reading your Wikipedia summary?
That's
now?
How I do movie reviews. Hello. He also wrote this movie. It's funny you brought up Beautiful Girls earlier because...
I did bring it up. Remember?
I read about this. He wrote the movie after having watched it, watched Beautiful Girls, and was heavily inspired by it. And
really?
In fact, I guess...
Let me read that subtext. He watched Beautiful Girls.
Right.
Wanted to fuck Natalie Portman.
Absolutely.
Wrote a movie in which he fucks Natalie Portman.
I mean, that's exactly where I was going with that. It's like he watched that movie, which, by the way, you watched recently, right? Beautiful
yeah.
Girls? And
yeah.
What do you have to say? Like,
I still like it, but in 1996 when I saw it, I really loved that movie because I was young and didn't quite... it's a theme that's going to come up a lot tonight, where the older you get and sort of the more jaded you get, the more you can hear the voice of a screenwriter that's trying too hard.
Okay.
To sound a certain way in movies, and watching Beautiful Girls again recently, that's what I heard.
Are you suggesting that Zach Israel Braff is trying too hard?
I think at moments.
Interesting.
He tries pretty hard.
So I read about this in that he watched that movie or was like heavily inspired by that and fell in love with Natalie Portman. And yeah. I fell in love with her during The Professional, but that's just my pervert, the pervert inside me. And so he wrote this movie, and it's... It came out in 2004, and I remember watching it for the first time and like, wow, that was really, I loved it. I thought
yeah,
it was great.
Yeah, me too.
And I think to Jeffrey Miller's point, it did kind of speak to me in a way that something that other movies kind of had, but maybe not so much of my generation or my age group or my likes and interests and tastes and things like that. Because obviously we can go back to any coming of age movie, but if it's not your generation, it has that detachment and distance to it.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily cool to like Garden State.
Not anymore, for sure.
And I don't even know if it was in 2004 if you were sort of a movie snob, but definitely not anymore because, you know, the movie is kind of mopey and self-indulgent.
Bloom is off the rose.
And tries a little too hard. And Nathan Rabin, who writes for the AV Club, coined an entire term based off of Garden State. And that is the manic pixie dream girl.
Yes.
And that is what Natalie Portman plays. And he does a whole thing about other movies with manic pixie dream girls. But it's, you know.
It's funny you bring that up.
The quirky character who exists only to teach the protagonist something about himself.
Right.
Her function is purely to love him and remind him that he's awesome.
Right, right. It's funny you bring that up because I remember hearing about that or I read about that or even heard about it from you that the AV Club had coined that. And watching it with my wife, who had, I think she had seen it before, but it, you know, been years.
She was like 8 at the time.
I think she was 6. So she hadn't seen it in years. Neither have I, but I had seen it more than she had. She saw it the one time. I'd probably seen it 4 or 5 times. And it's funny when that character came up, we both kind of like, you know, this character is so adorable and quirky and cute and says all the right things. And she has faults, but those faults are like you look past because you're a better person.
Right.
Like she lies, but it's like so cute when
but
she lies.
But she's cute about it, right?
Oh my God. Right. It's so, and it's just like, oh my God. We had this conversation 2 nights ago and we watched it again just about how it's the manic pixie girl. And you could point to all, not manic, yeah, manic? Manic dream pixie
manic
girl.
Manic pixie dream girl.
All these movies that you can kind of point to and say, yes, it's the big-eyed, short haircut, kind of, you know, whatever.
Right. And she's the best example of it. And watching it again, her character is a roller coaster for me because in one scene she makes me crazy. And it's not even necessarily Natalie Portman's fault. It's what she was, you know, it's the lines that are written and what she was directed to do. Where I just cringe with, like, douche chills, like, why did you do that? Why did you put that in this movie? Because then in the next moment, she says something that I think is, like, great and honest and realistic, and she really performs it well.
But I think that's... I agree, but I think that she... I personally think that she is the best thing about Garden State.
Yeah,
and I think she's so great. And if nothing else...
Yeah, because I'm sorry to interrupt, but, like, imagine Garden State with, like, Kirsten Dunst. You know what I mean?
Or Bilson. Or, you know, Mila Kunis.
They made that movie. It was called The Last Kiss.
That's right. Because I want to kiss someone new. Did he write that, too? He didn't direct it. He's only directed one feature.
Yeah. He did not write that. Paul Haggis wrote that.
Oh, Paul...
Academy Award winner, Paul Haggis.
That's... whatever. but Natalie Portman is so great in this movie, and I say that knowing that everything you said is true, and that she says some things that are so douchey and so, like, just make you cringe, but it's Zach Braff writing those horrible lines, and it's because... And I kind of respect Zach Braff or any first-time writer-director that he's putting everything... And it's in this instance, it's true. Like, he hasn't done anything since Garden State, so obviously this is his... baby, that he wants to put everything in this movie and leave nothing, you know, nothing
out. Boy, does he.
And does he, because there's some stuff, as you pointed out, that's very realistic and true and genuine, and there's some stuff that just is so cloying and just is, I don't know, saccharine, but also just weird, you know, there's whole weird
right, well,
scenes.
It comes out of this 90s, you know, the shift in the 90s where sort of the Sundance generation kind of boomed and the rise of Quentin Tarantino, and it was like suddenly you had to fill your movies with, like, quirk and different quirky elements. And this is a movie that has, yeah, really good scenes that are genuinely moving, and then he loads in all this quirky stuff. And I actually, for the most part, don't mind it. Because I'm a cynical, miserable son of a bitch, but I still, like...
You are.
I warm up to stuff like this in a way that I shouldn't. If I step back, I'm like, I know that Garden State shouldn't work for me as well as it does, but it still does.
And you also, I'm not making fun, but you also love romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you are cynical and you are kind of a half glass half empty kind of guy.
Glass half full of poison.
Right. But you love romantic comedies. Yeah. And even like some of the bad ones that you really respond to. Yeah. Or not even so much that you like those bad movies, but there's scenes in those bad movies that you respond to. So,
right.
Yeah, there's a lot that bothers me now that didn't bother me then. And then I still look past, because even like when the movie started, we watched it again. And again, it had been maybe 5 or 6 years since I've seen it. Actually, probably about 4 years since I've seen it, because it only came out in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of was bracing myself for more douche chills and more kind of awkward badness. And there definitely is some of that in the movie. But when it was over, I was kind of won back a little bit. You know, I remember, because again, I approached this thinking like, I haven't seen this in years. I really liked it, but when I thought and when I sat and thought about it, so much of it kind of in my mind, like, well, that must rub me the wrong way because nothing about that should work, and a lot of it doesn't. But then when you watch it, it kind of wins you back, and you kind of like all these, you know, all the elements of it.
I will say, like, I really was surprised because when I saw Garden State, I think I was watching Scrubs, and the first few seasons of Scrubs, I really, really like, and it got worse the longer it went on, but I stuck through it the whole way, but
you're the one.
I was not expecting it to be. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did, and I wasn't expecting to be as impressed by Zach Braff as a director. Because while there's a lot of stuff in the writing that, especially now, I say like, all right, that's a little much. Do you also, you know, do you need to write the adopted African brother who's trying to be a criminologist and is constantly dusting for prints? And
right,
like,
it's very.
But again, it leads to, and the movie is full of that. Just every character has a weird little quirk and a weird little story, but it does lead to that funny, like, visual gag when they're watching the tape of her ice skating and there's just the fingerprints all over the TV.
Right.
There's a lot of really, I like a lot of what the visual jokes that he does in the movie.
Like what else?
My favorite is still the wall of awards in the doctor's office.
Right.
Oh, and then it pans up and there's one on the ceiling.
It tilts up.
Sorry.
God damn it.
Yeah. yeah, I like all that stuff. And so I was really impressed by how good of a job he does as a filmmaker.
His directing
is good.
There's a couple scenes where it's like he loves like the crane boom. He pulls up a bunch and reveals like a big wide.
And
you know,
of course,
shot from
there's the one
thing.
Shot in the movie that's the worst shot in the movie.
Oh, it's
that
like
I wish,
CGI and stuff where they're shouting from
into like a trash dump or something.
Albert's Canyon or something.
Right.
It's just like they're shouting and it like pulls back and not even in an impressive way.
No.
Because it doesn't even
and
the
it
pullback.
It stops about halfway.
It doesn't show us very much of like this cavern or this whatever this crevasse is, this underground Grand Canyon that they call it. But yeah, the direction is not all that bad. the writing, there's a couple scenes where, and it happens actually more often, I can only think of a couple examples, but where he wants to insert something, like, yeah. I imagine that maybe a lot of this comes from real life, or experiences that he's actually had,
right?
Where someone said something to him that kind of, like, sticks in his brain, and, like, mm-hmm. I have to put that in a movie. So there's a couple sequences in which people are having a conversation, and it's just so, like, I'm going to put this in a movie. Right. Like, there's one scene where she goes, "You're in it right now."
Yes,
it's just like, my mom would say that all the time, "You're in it." And it's just like, I get it, and I understand, like, but it seems so, I don't know, it just seems so, like, on the nose.
I just really wish she could have just said, like, "Wow, you're really in it right now, aren't you?"
Without explaining.
And he could say, like, "Yeah, I'm really in it." And just let us do the work, you know?
I also had an issue at the end, well, a couple times near the end where, again, this all goes back to the script, where at the end, I think they're, like, embracing, or they're cuddling, or they're smooching, and he's just like, "I've never been more happy, or I feel safe, I feel like I'm at home with you." Every fucking thing is telegraphed in this movie. It's like, can't we just have a look, or an embrace, or a knowing, like, this act, do something that's, like, physical, that doesn't have to say everything. And by the way, I say this completely as the person, as a real life person who does say what's on my mind. I've embarrassed my wife because I'm like, early in our relationship, I would be like, "I love you so much." And she'd be like, taken aback, not in a good way necessarily, but hopefully, led to us being married and all the kids we have now. But when I first met my wife, I'm the guy that does say exactly what's on my mind. And I'm not saying that's, like, an admirable trait, or I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, like, I would be like, I don't know, I would make things awkward.
Right.
And if nothing else, that scene where he's like, "I feel so home, I feel safe." It's an awkward, like, that should be awkward between them. They barely know each other, but it's like, it's a sweet moment because we don't think about them. We think about us and not the people that we love.
Well, and unfortunately, Zach Braff doesn't trust us, I guess, because the whole movie is sort of about his journey from this numb misery to, like, finally starting to feel comfortable and, like, happy and get to know himself. And that's why I say the movie is very sort of self-indulgent and, to use a term I don't really like, sort of navel-gazing, And that's, I think,
what does that even mean? What is it?
Just constantly looking inward and obsessed with just, like, yourself.
Okay.
And that's, why a lot of people probably reject it. I guess he doesn't trust that we understand that he's gotten to that point, so he has to just flat out say, "I'm now happy because of you.
Right.
I depend on you for my happiness."
Right, well, that's even, like, more fucked up than, like, you should go on moral lithium for that statement, too. Like, you are not the reason I'm happy. He should be happy because of his...
Well, but he tries to say, like, "But I can't depend on you, so I'm going to get on a plane." Spoilers, we're going to say, whatever, I won't spoil it.
Spoilers that his hair changes length and everything.
Oh, it makes me crazy.
That was sort of Patrick's. I remember seeing this movie, one of his...
I loved it.
Pet peeves.
But I was obsessed with the fact that, like, his hair is a different length when we get to the end, and it feels like a reshoot, and it makes me crazy.
Well, I got to think that's, like, most of the movie is actually shot on location in New Jersey. But I think the end was probably in L.A. It had to be in, like, LAX or something.
And that ending, I will say, still works for me, even though it shouldn't, because, again, Natalie Portman sells it, I think, so well.
If nothing else, Natalie Portman's performance, and again, I'm a big fan, we've talked about this a couple times on podcasts, I love Black Swan. I thought her performance was great, and she will win the Oscar.
Yeah, there's
hardly any doubt. When you watch that, like, because that's the most recent thing I've seen with her in it, and, aside from the Thor trailer. and
the Other Woman trailer.
The Other Woman trailer, and there's also the trailer with the new, the guy from that HBO show. The one where has her butt exposed. That's by the way, she's in everything.
Your Highness. Yeah, she's got four movies out this
year. She's in every in superhero movies and big movies and small movies and Star Wars, for Christ's sake. It's like, my God. But watching Garden State after watching Black Swan, like, her kind of, verbal diarrhea. I hate that expression, by the way. But just like how in the scene where she first meets Zach Braff's character, Andrew Largeman, or Large, she is just... she can't stop talking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something about the way she's acting, and it's great. It's like, you don't realize that she's acting because it sounds like any other girl almost, but like when you see her range, I think it's really great.
I feel like even the character is acting in that scene. So it's like acting on top of acting, you know what I mean? And the problem is...
And the dog humping, that's always something. Like, do we need that scene? Like, to your point about, like, do we need it to be the black or the African?
Right, but the movie's just filled with that.
I sound like a racist, but... Even
the scene... that scene right there with, like, the music, "This Will Change Your Life," and, like, and again, I don't even mind that because the song actually is good, And it just is a shot of Natalie Portman changing her face like six times. But it doesn't matter because it's just like you're just holding on Natalie Portman for a while. And that's a great moment. But again, I fully understand why somebody would be annoyed by it and like totally reject this movie.
Right.
Even if I don't agree with
it. Wouldn't it be awesome if the song was not The Shins? Because that is a great song. And,
yeah.
But if it was just like some Hall & Oates song or something, or just something right, completely. Something
that, yeah. I always found it. Horrible. I always thought it was weird that he listens to it for maybe 11 seconds. He's like, it's good.
He's like, it had changed my life for your suggestion that it would.
I love you.
By the way, Zach Braff, who handpicked the songs.
Yeah.
And it's filled with Shins and very indie mid-2000s music, which actually I miss because music today sucks, and I'm the first one to say it. I'm kidding. It's pretty well known that music absolutely sucks. I looked at the lineup for Coachella, the festival that's coming out. It's just like, I don't care. I like Arcade Fire. I like some of these bands, but like, I would not pay money for a ticket to see any of the, like, there's nothing out there that excites me, and some of the music in this movie is absolutely great. So much so that he won a Grammy.
Yeah, right.
He's a Grammy winner because he picked the soundtrack for
And then he picked it again for The Last Kiss.
Did he? Is that like his influence?
Yeah.
He also won an Independent Spirit Award, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's the most he'll ever win, probably.
Well, and then he hasn't made anything since. And I wonder if it's that phenomenon of like, how do I top this? You know.
There was a big backlash though.
He should wait 5 or 6 years and then make a 3D IMAX movie.
Nice. About 8 foot tall blue people.
That's right.
There was a lot of backlash. I remember specifically, I actually looked for it today. I couldn't find it. There was an article about Zach Braff, how he kind of became, I don't know if it was his own invention. I don't think so. Cause it seems pretty, controlling to think to yourselves like, well, I'm going to be the spokesperson for Generation Y or whatever this generation's called. So back in like 2005, 2006, a couple years after this movie, when he was kind of the it guy where he was like the cute, funny nerd, because that was a newer thing back then. Now it's like everyone is the cute, funny nerd that's winning awards and stuff. But they kind of pegged him as the it person. And there was major backlash because, I don't know, people just resented that or didn't, the people that didn't respond to it the way that maybe you and I responded or Jeff Miller responded to it, that just, you know, and I think that kind of did lower his, you know, his clout, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah. The scene that jumps out at me as the worst, it's not the worst scene in the movie because
Is it Jim Parsons as a knight from medieval times?
No, that sequence doesn't even bother me.
It's one of those things again though, too, where it's the, you know, why
it's very written. It's written on top of written on top of written. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, he should wake up at his friend's house. By the way, it wasn't his friend's house. The party was. So he goes to his friend's house and sleeps. There's a couple inconsistencies and, you know, things like that in the movie. Like he goes to boarding school. He goes to Sarah Palin's boarding school. He goes to boarding school and because he pushed his mom down and they thought it was violence. But he remembers all these people from high school.
Right.
It just was, you know, I don't know. Again, I take the leap. It's like, okay, maybe he came back and maybe he still knows them and whatever else. But it's like, there's some inconsistencies.
The whole sequence, and we've talked about it before, just personally, that culminates in the standing and shouting down into the canyon where Peter Sarsgaard is like, I'm going to take you to find this thing. And it goes on and on and on. And they go to a hotel and they find Method Man. And he's,
who gets pretty good billing in this movie too. I think above Peter Sarsgaard and above,
like, watch it. Well, it was alphabetical at the end for the most part. And they're watching, and they're watching people have sex and like, what, this goes on. And there's just dozens of people like looking through hotel walls.
One guy has duct tape over his mouth.
Right. Just weird. Weird stuff.
It's an awful, awful, horrible movie sequence that does not belong in this movie at all.
Yeah, the movie loses its way really in the last third. But the worst example of the Natalie Portman terribleness, and then also her awesomeness comes a moment later. They're sitting in her bedroom and they're talking, and then she has to make a sound that.
Oh, that's earlier in the movie. Though.
I'm saying that sequence, that whole sequence is bad, but I was giving an example of a bad Natalie Portman thing. It's horrible where she's like, I have to make a sound that's totally original and no one's ever done it before. And it's horrible and I hate it and it's so written and it's terrible. But then, like, a few minutes later, she does this eulogy for her dead hamster, guinea pig. And it's great. It's great. It's not overwritten. It's just like, I'm sorry that I forgot to take your wheel out. I'm really sorry. She pauses. She says, I hope you liked me. And that's it.
Right.
And I think that says so much about her character that I hope you liked me. I think says so much about her character. And I feel like that's a moment that really could have been crazy written because we're literally stopping.
Like, I hope you like me. And I really want things to, I really, that's how I survive.
It's important to me that
right,
people like
people
me.
Need to like me. And I really right. think that this person I'm sitting next, do you like me? Do you, when I like hold hands?
But it's, you know, here's an example of a character who's stopping to make a speech. And I'm just glad that Zach Braff sort of resisted
urge. Zach Braff's defense of the first scene. And I agree. It's like, it's overwritten. It's like, I have to do something unique to make myself feel unique, if only for a moment.
Ugh.
Is that it's he's trying to create like an awkward situation, but I think it's so much done. It's done so much better in the same scene where she says we're not going to make out, and then
right,
she's like,
right.
"I'm sorry." It's like it's so right. awkward because she does have that kind of like she can't stop herself from talking.
Right.
But the way he writes it is like I've got to do just pile more on top of more on top of more, and just right. these sequences that like I don't know. I mean, I actually still like the movie a lot.
I do too.
And it does kind of like remind me of a time in my mid-20s, like I'm out of college and I'm kind of working and being on my own for the first time. And I can respond to what he's saying. And I think that also, and I don't know if the movie necessarily accomplishes this, but I know like what he was trying to go for, I respond to too.
Right.
Where it's just kind of like, you know, trying to find yourself, trying to like mentally grow up and all these things. And, you know, realizing that you have to make your life, you can't wait for life to, you know, affect you. You have to do something with your life. And I'm not sure, again, if the movie necessarily accomplishes that fully, but it's still, like, a pretty enjoyable thing. The music is great. It is saved a lot. That movie is saved a ton by the music.
Definitely.
Natalie Portman's great. Peter Sarsgaard is actually, I think, pretty great. He's great in pretty much everything. There's one scene, though. It's after Zach Braff wakes up at the house, at Peter Sarsgaard's house, and his mom from Designing Women is there with the Golden Globe winner Jim Parsons in the Medieval Times. And his – I don't, like – Jim Parsons at all, but his delivery of it says balls on your face is very funny.
Yeah.
Where there's a scene where Peter Sarsgaard is smoking marijuana.
Smoking. He smokes weed every day.
Smoke weed every day. And his mom is ragging him to get some tapes or get a job or something. And it's these sequence, it's like three lines said in sequence by him that are awkward cuts that I just feel like it's so like, it needs to be re-edited because it, I don't know, this
don't
is such a
now.
Very
yeah,
specific
it
critique, but it jumped out at me like years ago even too, where he's like, I don't bother you, mom. I don't rag on you. I don't tell you what to do. And then it's like a pause cut to Zach Braff's bald face. And he's like, so just leave me alone. Okay. And it's just like, what? It's like, they just pick one of those lines. And
right,
it'd be,
right.
I don't know. Maybe
Zach Braff's bald face. Zach Braff's acting is sort of distracting for a lot of the movie.
Aside from the writing and only half the writing, his acting is the worst thing in the movie.
Yeah.
His, like, mouth, how he does, like,
he's
I mean...
He's doing weird things all the time. And I liked him on Scrubs.
Yeah.
But he was a lot more sort of, like, lighthearted and
goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this one,
and
he's very
so
serious.
Just, like, sullen all the time and, like, mopey and, like, doing weird things.
There's a scene... Our good friend Jason, who, if you've listened to the American Pie podcast, Jason is a very funny person and he's a friend of ours. We'd always make the joke... All three of us, there's a line from Garden State where it's the end when they're the mansion and it's after the you're in it scene.
Right.
Where he goes, she's like, I'm a little buzzed, I got that, which is awkward, but I don't mind it so much. And I forget what he says specifically.
I think it's just like, I'm a little buzzed too. No, but it's like, I like you.
Yeah. So, and he goes, so there's that.
We have that.
And then he says that, again, this is very critical and very
so
silly.
So there's that. We have that.
And I'm just like, oh, that so exemplifies everything, though, where he's like his weird pursed lips and is just like his, you know, slack shouldered. And again, he was one of the first, I think, that kind of came in the early 2000s to be that nerd protagonist hero.
Right.
But now it just reads as like, what?
But I love the balls on the, face joke. Especially because it leads to an even bigger punchline when he goes to get the CAT scan and the camera is pulling up and you see he has all this stuff, all these dicks drawn all over him and stuff. And it's funny.
And who's his therapist? Who's the neuro...
Ron Liebman, who kills that scene.
He is so great in that scene.
He really is. Because you buy him as like a doctor.
Right.
But then everything he says is really funny, too.
Right.
Yeah.
He's great
he's
in that scene.
Great.
There are some great characters and great performances throughout. And again, it's you have to muscle through that, the written word on the page.
Right.
Where there's stuff that's just like, and again, the whole sequence, as you pointed out earlier, with the hotel room and the
that back alley where they go and see people having sex, it just is so doesn't belong there. We don't even need it. Like, it, you can take that out and just cut the movie down.
Right.
But the movie's not long.
I do like that when they first are walking into the hotel and there's that, like,
slow motion sequence.
Yeah. I like
but
it.
But
it
just is from everything, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's incongruous with, like, who they are and what's going on.
It's incongruous with who they are.
That's why I kind of like it, because it's like, look how cool they are. It's like a Reservoir Dogs shot.
Right.
But that has nothing to do with who they are or what they're doing, right. And that is amusing to me.
Well, the whole thing, too, is just like how Sarsgaard character, his name Mark, I think?
Sure.
He wants to give Large a gift before he goes back to L.A., so it's like the last third of the movie is just this scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
But they've got to do a couple things first. They've got to return knives, and that scene is like, all right, whatever, I accept it, you know. I think it's kind of clever that there's return policy. All that stuff is interesting, but they need a character, whatever. and then they go to this hotel, and then they go to this thing, this hole in the ground, and it's, I like some of the, I like how he protects, like how it builds, and at the end he protects her, like, where are you taking us, blah, 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 but like, where it is ridiculous. It's like, where are you taking us? This is a complete like waste of our time almost.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be the necklace that his mom was buried in.
Right.
And it's just, and I get that there's a story that kind of justifies it.
Do you know what I thought it was going to be the first time I saw the movie?
What?
And again, the first time I saw this movie, I loved it. Loved it. Like, I felt like you had said earlier, every once in a while a movie comes out that you feel like is made specifically for you. And that's how it felt, you know? And I think the people that really respond to it, like our emailing fan, says sort of the same thing, that it's just like you sit in the audience and you feel like, wow, this is really speaking specifically to me for whatever reason. So spoilers for Garden State. Obviously, we've spoiled it. Well, I don't know. We haven't spoiled like that much, but
they totally fucked.
They booed.
They get booed. No, man.
So Zach Braff has this monologue, and I actually really like that scene, and I think the monologue is good, and I think where it happens in the movie is good,
right?
Where he talks about what happens to his mom.
Well, it's kind of, you know, script book, like, at this point in the movie, this has to happen.
He makes this admission of what happened, and he tells this story about getting frustrated with his mom and pushing her, and the dishwasher was open because this little latch was broken, and she tripped over it, and she ended up being paralyzed for years and years, and obviously he's punished himself for it ever since. And for some reason, when they end up in, like, the trash dump, I was positive that Peter Sarsgaard was going to present him with, like, the little plastic latch. Not the one from the specific dishwasher.
Right.
But just, like, for Zach Braff to, like, reclaim that for some reason. Okay. I don't know why I thought that. I was sure it was going to be
Cyrus hanging from the cavern.
But that would have, I mean, not that that doesn't make it better, but it just made more sense to me that it somehow ties in to what we've seen.
Right. If, yeah, you know what?
Because otherwise it's this random, like, here's a necklace that we haven't talked about from your mom that was buried. I mean, it's set up that he's.
And they do reclaim it a little bit with that end story, but you're right. If it did, you know, if in fact it wasn't, the latch is still kind of a dumb plot piece anyway, like that there's a plastic latch and as she fell, it was a freak accident. It's just like okay, whatever. But like, if it was something that had to do
with, what if it was like his mom's corpse?
Yes!
I got your mom's bones. Her bones.
By the way, the original name of this movie?
Bones?
Large's Ark.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Well, thank God they went with Garden State.
Which, again, it's kind of it's a nothing title. It's like, it takes place in New Jersey. And actually, I read somewhere that it's like, because there's a poem called Garden State. Who knows? It's like,
Large's Ark.
Yeah, that's horrible. Cost $2.5 million to make. Made over almost 40. So that's, it's almost like, why hasn't he made another movie?
Right. I really think it's like fear of failure, but he's kind of disappeared, period, since Scrubs went away.
When did Scrubs go away, by the way? I know it was ABC's, when it was picked up by NBC, right? Or
vice versa, yeah. Okay. Like 2 or 3 years ago. But yeah, he's kind of been out of the public eye, and maybe he's working on something, I don't know.
What happened with Donald Faison?
He was in a movie that came out earlier this year called Skyline that I did not see.
What about Sarah Chalky?
Is that her name? Second Becky?
Yeah, Second Becky.
I don't know what she's doing.
Oh, I liked how she took her top off a lot in Scrubs. And
everyone took their top off on Scrubs.
Showed their brassieres a lot. I don't know. But no, Garden State, again, I have to say that I kind of, when you first proposed, when Jeff emailed you, and you're like, that's a really good idea, we should do Garden State, I'm like, you're right, that's a great idea, because it is this kind of movie where you have to wrap your head around it. Like, I saw it, and I felt a certain way about it. And I still feel, and it, like, you know, to jump ahead, I still feel a lot of that, and I don't know if it's residual. I don't think so. I think there's enough good movie stuff going on here that I still like it, but you do have to kind of grapple with, and it's a, you have to defend it a lot more, especially if someone saw it now. Like, if I met a person who was our age who had never seen it before, and they saw it right now, they'd be like, what's the
yeah,
big deal?
Yeah, I definitely think. And that, when we got the email, that was one of the reasons I was so excited to do it, because I thought it would be sort of this Goonies phenomenon, but for a much more recent movie. It's just, do I still like this movie, or am I responding to my feelings in 2004?
Explain the Goonies phenomenon just for those who hadn't listened to it.
I don't know why you would not have listened to the Goonies podcast.
It was very good, the Goonie cast.
But we did a podcast on the Goonies to answer the question, is the Goonies good, or do adults just like it because they liked it when they were kids and they can't sort of divorce that memory? And the answer is, it's not good. And
I still like it.
Yeah, well.
And I am,
And Garden State is like a really divisive movie, because I do think there's a lot of people who, and I don't, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people that I
like. So are you interested, or you are going to ignore it, is my question.
Ooh, I don't, I'm interested. Ding, 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 ding.
No, but I think it's not like, although I do admit, I think Goonies, I still like a lot about it. It's still a fun, exciting movie for kids that doesn't necessarily hold up. And I realize a lot of my goodwill towards it is because of watching it on a rainy day in Elk Grove Village, Illinois, you know, when my parents were at work or something in the summer. But Garden State, what was my point?
I'm not real sure. You still like it. I still really
Garden
like
State
it.
Is not one of those. I think that it still has enough goodness to it, and there's still some really great lines of dialogue that make up for some of the really crappy lines of dialogue.
Yeah, it definitely has faults, and I didn't notice those faults as much, again, in 2004, because I just was kind of in love with the movie. But I think I recognized that they were there, but I just dismissed them. And that's harder to do now, and maybe it's just because I have my guard up more, even because we're doing like this podcast, and now we're putting our feelings and thoughts about movies on record for strangers, and you almost like are wondering how you're going to sound as you talk about, you know.
That's never crossed my mind.
Oh, every once in a while I do. Like, if we're going to bat for a movie that I think people are just hating, I just wonder what the reaction will be. It's not that I'll change my opinion of it. I'm not going to say, like, no, I don't really like Garden State to hopefully curry favor with strangers. But I definitely wonder, like, what will the reaction be when we come out and say, like, we really like Garden State.
No, I'd love to hear what the reaction would be, because I think that, you know,
FSMoviePodcast@gmail.com.
You think a lot of people, though, especially of our age.
Especially.
Of our age, who are into Twitter and Facebook and all these things and blogs and podcasts, that they probably have the same reaction that we do. It's the ones who are maybe younger or older that I think that...
I think there's still a lot of people who are too hip for Garden State. And what's weird is that Garden State...
They're too hip for our podcast.
Well, definitely. Garden State, I mean, tries to be hip, you know?
And there's nothing hip about this podcast.
No, definitely not about this podcast, please. But Garden State definitely tries to be hip, and I don't know if that's what people are reacting to, or if they're just like, they're so hip that, like, please, I was listening to The Shins 7 years ago.
Right.
And I think there were definitely people that were way too hip for Garden State.
You know, this is such a dumb side note. We, kind of like you guys, you and your wife, your wedding favor for your wedding.
We handed out plastic dishwasher. Dishwasher? That would have been a good joke.
It would have? No. You and Erica, for your wedding, handed out favors that were a mixed CD.
Yes.
Great songs.
To be fair, we got married in 2004.
Wow, you're setting me up for a...
Oh, no, that wasn't intentional. That was not intentional. I just feel like...
Because I got married...
to CDs as much.
I got married in 2010, and I did the same thing, you asshole.
No, that was so not to set you up. I swear.
Okay, so in 2004, Patrick and Erica did...
You should have just handed out flash drives.
That was honestly... we looked into it. Really? Because there was a funny thing... And this
seems like it would be expensive.
Boring. It is expensive. There was a thing, though...
Garden State...
It came in a cassette tape that was like... It looked like a tape. And we opened it up, and there was a little thumb drive that you could plug into your computer. I'm like, that's so cool. But it was like 10 bucks a pop, I think.
That's
like,
crazy.
So we did a CD also, and I realized CDs are not in vogue right now. But you put it on your computer, and you download it, and dump it, you know?
Right.
But it was the whole point of me saying all this is that there's people that I listened to Shins years ago. I thought our CD was good. There's obviously some newer songs, a lot of older songs, but just, if nothing else, songs that hopefully represented us and made us happy.
I will give you a Grammy. Thank for you. Choosing the songs for your wedding.
But there was people, there was maybe one or two people that were like, oh, good CD. I mean, I had heard everything already, and I have all those songs already.
Why would someone say that?
I have no idea, and it didn't...
Do you remember who it was?
I don't, actually, okay. No. But it was a thing where the person said it to me.
That
I
wasn't, is so douchey.
I wasn't really offended, but I just, like, the more I thought about it, I'm just like, why would you even say that? Because
they're desperate. Like, right. That's just such a move to,
like,
wow.
I pretty much have all these songs. I mean, it was good.
Listen, you're not introducing me to a thing, okay?
Right, exactly. And it's like, and that wasn't even, I mean, obviously that's not the fucking goal, is to introduce any music. It's like, no, if you listen to this CD in sequence, you're going to enjoy it and maybe remember a good day that you had in July in Chicago.
Right.
But it's like, oh, well, you know, and that's what I think a lot of these assholes out there, and again, the podcast is not hip. We're not cool. We're not trying to be, I don't think. And again, maybe that's, by saying that, are we being cool? I have no idea.
Maybe.
Very, very.
Everything's
meta.
Folding back in on itself.
But
you're not an asshole if you don't like Garden State, but you are an asshole if you're too hip for Garden State.
Well, if that's the reason you don't like it, right? If you don't like it because you're just like, well, I don't really like, you know, it doesn't really speak to me. I don't respond to it. Like, because that's all we're talking about right now, which is like the theme of this podcast is like, how do you respond to something? It's not just like, is something good or bad? And that's more quantitative. It's more like the qualitative, like, I really like this. You know, and there's certain things that and again, I do kind of fall in love with Natalie Portman, and I do really like a lot of the stuff. A lot of the sub stuff, the B plots and things like that, like the mom and the knight and like the friend's mansion, he makes silent Velcro. It's just all very,
he just had all this stuff and he had to jam it.
It opens with like this fantasy sequence of him on an airplane where it's just like, well, this is, I don't remember
endless,
this at all.
Endless,
like,
quirkiness, you know?
Right. It's very, he like drives away and the gas pump is still stuck in his car. By the way, that's not how the nozzle would break. I worked at UL. I know that there's a detachable mechanism that it would not just rip off like
all
that.
All the sinks going off and...
and he walks so slow in that scene where it's just like so deliberate, like I am walking in a movie.
Right. And the mirror shot, you know, and just he opens it up and there's all the prescription bottles. But I don't think the movie is, you know, to its credit, I don't think he's going for realism in any way in those...
I don't think
sequences,
so
I think it's okay that it's really self-consciously stylized.
Right,
you know?
The bedroom is all like from really high above. There's a ceiling fan. There's nothing. He's like tucked into his bed like it's like a coffin almost, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I don't mind it so much. It is interesting when you kind of compare that though to how the movie evolves and how it changes. Like there's none of that near the end. But there's
he
like that one
to
scene
lose a lot of that. Yeah.
And maybe that's what he's trying to do. You know, like his lithium life.
I think.
More,
yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case.
I don't think it's so. I think he'd probably not, I don't know, he might claim that, but I don't know, it might just be by serendipitous.
Well, and I think those kinds of things are sort of what is carrying the first half of the movie, and in the second half, you know, theoretically you don't need that because now you're invested in the characters and the story, but unfortunately, the second half is where they go on the hunt for the Ditch Watcher.
The Ditch Watcher. the dad's really great too, Ian Holm.
Ian Holm, yeah, he is
Sir
very
Ian Holm,
good.
He's great, and there's a couple scenes where he scares him at the fridge, and when he walks away, it's a really great little, and so that's a credit to his direction too, just like how I want this to look like this, and kind of remove Zach Braff, actor, from the equation, because again, his acting is like, oh, okay, you know, you're
right.
From Scrubs.
It is fun to go back and watch it again, not just because I like a lot of the photography or the music or whatever, but like you said, Natalie Portman, because she's in a lot of movies, but she's rarely like really warm and likable. Not, you know, she's really good in Black Swan, but those aren't words that I would use to describe her. Like Beautiful Girls is one where you really like her, and this is another one. She barely gets to play like a romantic lead, you know, except for this year, she's the romantic lead in every movie. But, and he was smart to cast her. I didn't realize he wrote the movie like for her.
I don't really realize, I mean, how much, I'm sure that's part of it. I'm not sure how much that was like directly for her or whatever, but I read something that he was like, he had been watching Beautiful Girls and there was like an inspiration to cast her.
Well, just think about that scene with the headphones and the shins, like how much he sort of banks on that moment of that song playing and just a shot of her face. And that's what has to win us all over. And again, if it's Kirsten Dunst, like that's not, or Kate Hudson or whoever, like that's not happening, you know? So she is what makes it work. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And And you're less distracted by Zach Braff because of her.
Right. It is weird. Watching the movie again, I was really struck by his sort of speech at the end. you know, he's going to go back to LA to figure some stuff out and find himself. And then he gets off the plane and realizes, no, I want to be with you. But I still have to figure stuff out, and it's going to take some time. And it's just, it's 100% about him and what he needs. And right. there's like no consideration.
No.
For and Natalie she's Portman.
Bawling,
but she's also like more than happy to go along with that. Right. And it's like, oh, this is such like a screenwriter's fantasy. Just like, you're this woman who exists and you'll just wait for me and you'll help me figure out my stuff and you'll right. stay with me. And I don't think in 2004 I was as struck by that.
No, you know? It's just well,
I
honestly
was just like probably, they're together.
Well, your first reaction so happy, because we're you know? Guys and like I mean it's like, oh, she's great, and you realize how fucked up that yeah, actually right. is, you know? Like right. no, and now like again, when this movie came out, I don't know, I think it came out right before you got married, or maybe actually right after you got married.
I don't remember.
It was end of July of 04.
Okay.
And actually July 20th, what's your anniversary?
31st.
It came out 3 days before you got married.
I Get think. Out of town.
But yeah, you maybe weren't as aware, but you know, as we mature and it's like, oh, that's, and just not even mature, but just
that's not how relationships work. Viewing.
Right.
It's right.
Like, I wish it worked like that. Just kidding.
So that's Garden State. I still like it.
Garden State. I still like it.
That's Large's arc.
Large's arc. My God. Thanks for having me, Patrick. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
I love Garden State, and I love you.
I love you. It's a scary thing to watch a movie that really meant, that was important to you in that way, because you're worried that, like, oh, if this doesn't hold up, what does that mean? You know, every time I go back to Good Will Hunting, I have that.
Oh, God, well, that's a movie. I was just going to ask you, like, well, what other movies kind of fit that category?
Good Will Hunting is one.
Good Will Hunting, what is it, 98?
97.
97?
Yeah.
And I loved that movie when it came out.
Me
I
was like, too.
Man, it's so interestingly written, and the yeah. characters are so different, and I'm in this environment that's so exciting, and you watch
but
it.
But suffers from a lot of the same problems as Garden State, and where maybe it's just overly written in parts, but then in other scenes it's great, you know?
Right. So why, you know, it's funny because that movie, and I agree with everything you just said, it's overly written. There's scenes where like Ben Affleck is pretending to be Matt Damon's character.
That has always
it just sticks
stood
out,
like, out to me.
But what,
from the first time I saw it, what is this weird comic relief scene?
What makes that movie though?
Yes, suspect.
Get them Oscars.
Retainer.
What a lot. What you know says this is an Oscar worthy movie. The writing of this, and Garden State isn't. And I'm not saying Garden State is at all, by the way. But I'm saying, what about that? Is it the scope of the movie? Is it like the arc? Is it Gus Van Sant? Is it like the, you know, how it's just a bigger thing?
It's the overall narrative of 1997.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was that the movie really caught on and became sort of this cultural phenomenon. And as a result, they were catapulted and everyone loved the story. They're best friends and they slept on couches and now they're movie stars. And they wrote this movie together. And isn't that cute? And it has absolutely everything to do with that, because if the same thing would have happened with Garden State, you know, Zach Braff would have been in the running for an Oscar or whatever, but the movie never caught on outside of a specific audience.
Right.
You know, our parents weren't going to see Garden State, but they maybe were going to see Good Will Hunting.
Which is, yeah, again, that's just, that's interesting though. Like, why? Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. I get why, but it's just like, well, what makes a movie kind of garner that audience and, you know.
Two
I
words.
Think not large as art.
Robin Williams.
Robin Williams.
You that know. Guy puts asses in seats. Bicentennial Man.
Two words. Patch Adams.
Jacob the Liar. What Dreams May Come.
Jacob the Liar.
He's a home run hitter. Father's Day. Flubber.
Oh my God. I want to just clarify too that Patrick is not reading any of this off a list or anything. This is all just from his own warped mind. But he remembers all this crap.
Yeah. All right, anyway, so I'm glad I got to rewatch Garden State and remembered that I still like it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was fun.
And thank you for the email, and thank you for the suggestion. And remember, if you guys have a movie you want to hear us talk about, fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com.
We're unflinchingly compelling, so.
Always, always. And follow us on Twitter, because that shit is blowing up. And don't forget, every Friday, watching trailers with Doug.
Is that what it's going to be every Friday now?
I think so.
Okay, cool, cool.
If it's a different day, then, you know, deal with it.
Hey, if you want trailer suggestions too, or want to see stuff to, if you know,
yeah,
stuff
if you like saw a trailer and you're like, oh, Doug should write about this, then email us.
Because you'll love what I write about Thor. It's like nothing. I don't write anything. I have nothing of substance. It's just stupid.
And if you want to hear all of our shows, because it's only our 10 most recent shows that are in iTunes.
You should ask again if anyone knows how to fix
that. Does anyone know how to fix that? I know that there's, it's possible to make the iTunes go up to like the last 50 shows, but for some reason it's only showing our most, our 10 most recent. If you want to hear all of our shows going all the way back to Avatar.
Have you written John iTunes yet?
No, I have not.
What about Juan Itunes?
Go to fthismovie.blogspot.com and you can hear all of our past shows. Thank you very much, Doug. Do something original that no one's ever done before.
How about this? How about, I'm no Superman! Ooh, ha, la, 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 la. Oh, I'm no Superman!